Let's read together Amos chapter 5, verses 18 through 27. Now, in the second half of Amos chapter 5, we have the continuation of the third sermon of Amos. In this part of the sermon, Amos denounces the religious hypocrisy in the northern kingdom of Israel. So Amos chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord! For what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. Did you offer me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? You also carried Sukkot, your king, and Kion, your idols, the star of your gods, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will send you into captivity beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Once again, some background notes. A concise outline of the book of Amos would be as follows. 8 prophecies in chapters 1 and 2, 3 sermons in chapters 3 through 6, and 6 visions in chapters 7 through 9. Here in chapter 5, we are in the third sermon of Amos. The first sermon was in chapter 3. The second sermon was in chapter 4. And the third sermon is contained in chapters 5 and 6. Each sermon begins with the introduction, "Hear this word." Notice the beginning of the first sermon in chapter 3, verse 1. "Hear this word." And notice the beginning of the second sermon in chapter 4, verse 1. "Hear this word." And the beginning of the third sermon here in chapter 5, verse 1. "Hear this word." Remember, all 3 of these sermons would have been given at Bethel in the northern kingdom of Israel. Bethel is where the royal shrine was that housed one of the golden calf idols that King Jeroboam I had set up when the northern kingdom of Israel began. Remember, Jeroboam I was the first king of the northern kingdom. Now, at the time of Amos, King Jeroboam II is in power in the north. The capital of the northern kingdom was Samaria, but there was also a royal residence at Bethel. So King Jeroboam II may have heard Amos preach this sermon, and he did not like it. But Amos was not afraid to boldly denounce the sins of the northern kingdom. And in this part of his third sermon, he openly denounces the religious hypocrisy of Israel. Notice in verses 25 and 26 how Israel's religious hypocrisy did not just begin during the time of the kings. No, it went all the way back even before the times of the judges to the wilderness wanderings. Verses 25 and 26 again. "Did you offer me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? You also carried Sukkot, your king, and Kion, your idols, the star of your gods, which you made for yourselves." The point of these verses is that even though the people had brought some sacrifices to the Lord during the wilderness wanderings, they were also practicing idolatry all the way back then. In their travels, along with the tabernacle, they also carried Sukkot and Kion. These were idols, false deities associated with the starry heavens. This mixture of worship was religious hypocrisy to the nth degree, and it would be judged. Let's move now to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number 1. The day of the Lord is darkness for those involved in religious hypocrisy. The day of the Lord is darkness for those involved in religious hypocrisy. verses 18 through 20 once again. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. For what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? The people were self-deceived. Even though they were practicing idolatry there at Bethel, somehow they thought that they would be blessed when the day of the Lord came. Nothing could be further from the truth. It would not be light for them. It would be darkness for these religious hypocrites. It would be like out of the frying pan into the fire. It would be like running away from a lion, only to run into a bear. Or it would be like running into a house and bolting the door, thinking that you had escaped, but when you leaned your hand on the wall to catch your breath, you're bitten by a snake. You follow it? The day of the Lord would not be blessing and light for these religious hypocrites. It would be a day of darkness and judgment. Where did these people get this idea that the day of the Lord would be a day of light and blessing anyway? Where did they get this idea? One possibility is the prophecy of Joel. We believe Joel was written about 80 years before Amos. So many of the people would have been familiar with Joel's prophecy. In the prophecy of Joel, especially at the end, it is predicted that judgment would come upon the foreign nations, but great blessing would come upon Israel in the day of the Lord. Joel 3:18. So perhaps these religious hypocrites, listening to Amos preach, got the idea that they would be blessed in the day of the Lord from Joel's prophecy. However, they missed a good portion of the prophecy of Joel. Joel not only speaks of the day of the Lord as a day of blessing for Israel, but as a day of darkness and judgment for unfaithful Israel. Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. Now, an important question. Did the day of the Lord come to pass yet, or is it still in the future? Answer, yes to both parts of the question. There is an historical aspect to the day of the Lord, as well as an eschatological or future aspect to the day of the Lord. It seems that Amos, here in chapter 5, has the historical aspect of the day of the Lord primarily in view because of what we read in verse 27. Amos is predicting here the coming end of the northern kingdom of Israel at the hands of the Assyrian Empire. Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom, would fall in 722 BC, about 35 years after Amos gave this prophecy. Now, what was true of the historical day of the Lord for the northern kingdom of Israel is certainly true of the eschatological or future or ultimate day of the Lord. And it can be applied to today as well. The day of the Lord is darkness for those involved in religious hypocrisy. Listen to what the Lord will say to the religious hypocrites in the judgment in the coming day of the Lord. I'm reading Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. The Lord speaking, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" God hates religious hypocrisy. The day of the Lord is darkness for those involved in religious hypocrisy. Doctrinal point number two, the response of the Lord is rejection for those involved in religious hypocrisy. The response of the Lord is rejection for those involved in religious hypocrisy. Look at verses 21 through 23 here in Amos 5. "I hate, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fat and peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your song, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. The people were going through religious motions, but they were rejected by the Lord because it was not true worship. But you say, wait a minute, I thought the Lord ordained these offerings and feasts under the Mosaic law. He did, but they were not being offered from a right heart. These people from the northern kingdom of Israel were worshiping pagan deities at the same time, and they were not worshiping the Lord at his temple in Jerusalem. And they were involved in social injustice as well. They were taking advantage of the poor. They were taking advantage of the widows. They were taking advantage of the aliens. Evidence that they did not have true faith. This is why we have probably the best known verse in Amos right here in the context. Amos 5:24. But let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Social justice, you see, would be evidence of a true and a right heart. True faith should work itself out into everyday righteousness. Otherwise, it's all religious hypocrisy and just going through the motions. Just going through the motions is false worship. It is unacceptable and rejected by the Lord. It's religious hypocrisy, and God hates religious hypocrisy. The response of the Lord is rejection for those involved in religious hypocrisy. Practical application. Are you a religious hypocrite? This is the most obvious application of this portion of Amos. Are you a religious hypocrite? Is it possible that you're here this morning and you're just going through the motions? Remember the Pharisees? They thought they were saved and involved in true worship, but they were religious hypocrites. Listen to what the Lord said to these self-righteous hypocrites in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27 and 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And verse 33, serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? This is strong language. God hates religious hypocrisy. Now, obviously, there are degrees of religious hypocrisy. But don't think that you're okay just because you're not as bad as the Pharisees. Are you hiding behind a religious mask and just going through the motions? Or are you truly born again and worshiping the Lord from a true and a right heart? True faith will manifest itself in acceptable worship and justice and everyday righteousness, as we see here in Amos 5:24. Everyone here, examine your heart. Are you a religious hypocrite?